Good morning, guys. Thank you for being here. Hey, good morning. I like that. Some response. I like a good response. So we're in our series right now called The Line, and we've been talking about fishing. So the first week, we talked about how Jesus has called us to be fishers of men, and he showed that example literally when he met Simon Peter in the middle of the day when you don't fish, when they were done fishing, and he goes and he says, "Watch this," and he gets in the boat and does an object lesson where he says, "Hey, cast the net over there." And, you know, they did what he said, and then they pulled all the fish in, and from then on, they were like, "Okay, you're the guy." So if you ever get a guide, a fishing guide, that tells you throw over there and you immediately catch something, that becomes your best friend. Okay, that's that. You are now family. You're going to make it legal. Okay, so when that happens, that's what you do. And so last week, we talked about what that actually looks like, because there's no business like soul business, guys. It is very exciting when fishing with Jesus. And sometimes Jesus takes you on a fishing trip and you don't even know it. And I talked about my friend Zach and how I ended up on a fishing trip with Jesus that lasted a couple of months, and it ended up him being hooked by Jesus. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. He gave his life to the Lord. He's lived changed ever since. And some of you actually, last week, I posed the question. I said, if you don't know Christ, if you can't say that you've been hooked, if you want to be hooked. And so we did the prayer and everything. And so some of you made the decision and said, welcome to the fold, welcome to the family. So right now, we're going into week three of The Line. So there's different types of fishing, okay? It's not just going down to the pond. There's pond fishing, there's boat fishing, there's shore fishing when you go out to the shore, there's pier fishing, and there's wade fishing. Now, wade fishing, I have a story about wade fishing now. But when you do these different types of fishing, there's all sorts of different type of fish. So when you go on these certain types of trips to do these certain types of fishing, you have to think about what fish are out there. Because if you don't have the right lure, if you don't have the right bait, you're not going to catch anything. So you have to be intentional with all the different types of baits, what you use. So when I was a kid, like I said before, we had a bait house down in Matagorda. And as a kid, we'd go out. And so I grew up fishing. I loved it. A lot of great opportunities. In fact, my grandfather just passed away, and he got to claim his reward this and we celebrated him this yesterday in his funeral. And we talked about all the fishing trips that happened there and all the lessons that we learned. And then one of the times I can remember when my father took me fishing, we did something called wade fishing. And so wade fishing is when you take waders, you put waders on, and you walk out into a delta or some kind of murky area where the water is kind of rushing. And so where we were at, it was a delta that actually led out into the Gulf of Mexico. And so it was very wide. And so what we did, we put our waders on, we walked out there. And because you don't have a boat and you don't have land, you got to attach everything to you. So everything that you're going to use, you got to have attached to you. All right. And so in these waders, we have lures and line and we got our fishing poles and everything clips and hooks to you so you don't lose it in the current. And so even then, when you catch a fish, you got to hook that fish to you. All right. And so when I was a kid, I just wanted to do it all. I wanted to be just like my dad. And I was like, man, I want to handle it all. And my dad, he said, okay, we'll catch the fish. When you catch it, though, give it to me. And I'll put it in. We had like this net basket thing. I'll put it in this basket. I'm like, but dad, I want to do it. And he's like, trust me, just let me have the fish. You know, because I wanted to do it all. I wanted to do the whole experience. And so we're out there and we're casting. We got using our specific type of lure. And so we're catching fish. We're pulling them in. It's fun and exciting because you never know kind of what's out there. It's a whole, menagerie of fish that come in and out of the bay into the Gulf of Mexico. And some of the fish you don't want, So sometimes that's the most difficult ones. But so I'm handing the fish off to my dad, right? And we're catching them. It's great. Some big trout, redfish. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun when you get a big one on the line to pull it in. And then my dad would come in the distance. And I remember this moment. And my dad's kind of in the distance. And he didn't really explain why he wanted to hold the fish. Because when you have the fish, you hook them to you. And you put them in a basket. And they're just kind of right next to you. All right, so being in the Gulf of Mexico, there's also sharks. And I remember my dad, all of a sudden oh my gosh, you know, something's gone wrong, and his hip throws. And I remember him like ripping as hard as he can to get away from whatever it is. And I'm like looking, I'm like, what is wrong with him? Those fish aren't that big pulling on him. And I rush over there, and he tells me to stay just for a second, and then he checks his line. All the fish are gone. And then he explains to me, son, there's sharks in the water, and they can smell the blood. And he says, yeah, we fished for some fish, but then unwillingly, sometimes we're fishing for sharks too. You know, it happens sometimes. And so it was an awesome lesson for me. It was exciting. And then I was terrified for about a couple months to step out back into the water. You know, and if I had like just a paper cut on my finger, I'm like, nope, not going in the water, guys. I am staying, you know, we had Jaws at the Bay House, which is never a good idea to watch Jaws when you're about to go on a fishing trip. So, but something is always being fished. Whether you know it or not, whether intentional, something is always fishing. What if I was to tell you guys that somebody is fishing for you? Somebody is fishing for you. And I know what you're thinking. That's, you know, how do you believe that? And I say resounding yes. Christ is fishing for you. And how do I know this? Because in Scripture, we find throughout Scripture that in what Jesus did, everything he did was to fish for us. Everything he did was to fish for us. Every moment he woke up, and his feet, his sandals hit the ground, he was fishing for us. Everything was an object lesson. Everything was an opportunity to show us a better way, so we can gain truth about God, so we can be hooked by him. So a resounding yes, somebody's fishing for us. But conversely, there's somebody else who's also fishing for us. The devil, Satan. Satan is always fishing for us, just like Jesus is. Because he doesn't want us. He's the opposite. He is the negative. He doesn't want the goodness of God because he was jealous of the goodness of God. And so he also gets jealous of our connection with God. And see, the enemy doesn't want us to know our worth to God. We find out our worth to God when we get hooked by Jesus. When we get hooked and we accept Jesus into our lives and the gospel comes to life in our lives, we find out our worth and how much we are loved and how much he cares about us and what he did for us. Because if you only could see what God has for you, you wouldn't believe it. If you can only see what your future is and what God intends for your future, you would not believe it. You say, there's no way that could happen for me. But the hook that the enemy has is something called temptation. See, Jesus, it's the gospel. But for the enemy, it's temptation. That's the hook that the enemy always sets. And so, because he wants to keep you from the truth and the promises of God, he doesn't want you to know. And so he's always tempting us by fishing. I got my tackle box right here. I actually forgot to get my tackle box out of storage, so we're actually using my son's tackle box. There you go. So when it comes to lures, the enemy is very crafty. And the scripture we're going to be looking at today is in James 1, and in that there's a Greek word. It's a Greek word that means exelko. And what that means is actually to lure and tempt us away. Because you're saying the enemy is luring us? Yes, in scripture it says he's actually trying to lure you and tempt you away, okay? And so because of that, Satan is always casting for you. He's always throwing lures out there trying to catch us, because Jesus wants to hook us. Jesus wants to hook us to bring us from death to life. He wants us to beat death through his grace and his mercy and what he did for us on the cross. But the enemy doesn't want us to know that. He wants us to miss that, and he wants to hook us with temptation to keep us away from it, so he can bring us from life to death. And so he uses many, many different ways. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you guys are like, do you really believe this? Come on, Bill. I mean, you're a studied man. You know, you trained in theology, and you went to seminary and stuff like that. Yeah, I do. It's very real. it's very real. And how I can show you that it's real, just look at our world. Just look around us. The destruction, the horribleness, the genocide, racism, violence. Porn is a $100 billion industry, something that is so destroying of something that God meant to be so beautiful. Human trafficking, child abuse, fragmented families, you name it. There is destruction out there. Humans don't want destruction. Do you want pain in your life? No, you don't. But this stuff happens because there's another force at hand that is trying to constantly lure. Because what Satan wants to do, he either wants to destroy us or he wants to get us to destroy ourselves. Because if he can do that, he can achieve that. If he can get us so low that we think we wouldn't ever be worthy enough for God, or so low that because of what's happening in my life, God's not even real. There's no way possible that there's a God out there that loves me. And he destroys us. But he starts with temptation. He starts with these lures. And I mean, how do you explain all this negative stuff that happens? I mean, is it a damaged chromosome? Were your diapers put on too tight? Was your nursery painted red? You know, there's all these excuses out there, but the truth is there is something out there that's constantly fishing to destroy. It's much, much deeper than that. The enemy is very organized and is actively trying to destroy us. But fear not. I don't want you to be in fear. It's not like, oh gosh, what are we going to do when you go out these doors and you're screaming, ah, you know, yelling around in the streets or something. No, don't fear. I don't want you to fear. That's not what this whole talk is meant to be. This doesn't mean run away. It always means that just because I don't want you to think it's not there. I want you to have some education, to not be ignorant to the temptations that are out there, because it's in the ignorance where you find the most destruction. Because if you can see ahead of the game, if you know what's coming, if you see the lures coming, you know that. Because when I'm out there fishing, fish don't always know that they're hooked. They don't know they're hooked. When they catch that bait and I set the hook, they don't realize they're hooked really until they're in the boat. That's when they give up. They stop flopping around. They know that it's over. Because when they're in the water and they're still in their element, in their life, they just think that the turbulence and whatever's pulling on them is just something that's random. They think that it's something that just happened. And that's the same thing the enemy wants us to think too. That whatever is happening to us, whatever the evil that's in our lives, has nothing to do with anything else. It's just random. It's just by happenstance. The truth is, when we indulge in that lure and that temptation, a hook gets set. And slowly, and sometimes rapidly, the enemy wants to pull us in. He wants to get us out of that life, out of the water, and end it, straight to death. So, oftentimes we downplay it. We're like, life is short. I deserve this. Whatever this is in your life, whatever's going on, you've got these lures. Sometimes, you know, if you're a fan of shrimp, you like, you know, doesn't that look real? Isn't that awesome? And when you have one of these, it's like, man, that looks good. That looks yummy. You know, I've been good. You know, there's just little temptation in my life. I you know, it's whatever. You know, I deserve it. So we'll think that, you know, life is short. Why not give it a try? You know, we have some other, like, oh, here we go. This is a good one. Like, I like that bling bling in my life, you know? I know I don't have a lot of money. I know I've maxed out my credit cards and whatever. You know, that money's not there, but, you know, I need a little extra bling in my life. I need that thing that's in that store, in that case, whatever's there. I need that. And we're tempted. And we say, but I feel like I need that. How often has feelings told us the truth? Sometimes we're like, man, I feel like I want that. I feel like I need it. And so I'm going to listen to my feelings. I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to go with the flow. Feelings lie to us. They look good. Like, man, I just feel like I want to wallow in self-pity. It looks great. It feels great. Just looks good. We bite down on it. There's all sorts of lures that the enemy likes to use on it. And they have some flash and some flair. He likes to get our attention. Sometimes it's slimy. Sometimes it might be a little slimy but fun. Might be a little slimy but fun. You're not too proud of it, but you like to indulge in it. And sometimes it's like, man, that just looks sleek. I gotta have it. Gotta have it. Do you see how big those hooks are? The things that usually are the most shiny have the biggest hooks. And so the enemy knows. The enemy knows. He knows that he has all these baits. He has this huge tackle box for you. And he's setting it up. And what he does is he watches you and he goes, you know what? I know that they're into that one thing. I know that they're really into this. And I don't want this, guys, to be a secret for you. I don't want the blindsidedness of temptation to be a secret, because that's when it really sinks its hook into you. So today we're going to look at what's the process of temptation, because there's a process to it. So what the enemy does, he first figures out what's your lure, what's your thing, what are you into, right? And it's kind of in your life, and he knows you struggle with that. Some of it might be greed or lust or whatever it may be. And he goes, okay, I'm going to prepare something over here. And he takes his hook, he gets that hook in there, and he kind of sets it in there. If I stab myself right now, that'll be awesome. He gets that hook in there. He's preparing it. You're just going about your life, doing your thing. Meanwhile, he's over here. He's got something good. He's getting ready. Then he pops that hook out. And he's preparing it for you. And he gets it ready. And then there's, oh, look at that. You don't even see the hook, do you? You see, the hooks, you're usually dark colored. Because it'd be weird for a fish to look at something and it's like something's off. There's something hanging out of that thing I want to eat, right? And so they do it in dark colors, but they keep the thing, the prize, flashy. They keep it bright. So he wants to tempt you, and he's preparing that lure for us. He makes it look seductive. He makes it look, man, I got to have that in my life. And then he comes along and he's like, okay. And he hooks it up and all right, let me get this going here. Last night I was practicing out in the street at 10 o'clock. You want to make your neighbors think you're crazy? Go fish in the street at 10 o'clock at night. Or if you have a problem with what people think about you, after you do this for a little while, no, you don't care what anybody thinks about you. So we come along and he's trying to fish for us. He takes these lures and he hooks them up, and he's got something for you. And there's something that fishermen do. It's a little bit of a cheat. We don't proudly talk about it, especially when you fish for sharks, but you chum, right? And so for littler fish, we have this stuff that look like brown blocks. And when we go on fishing, we take it and we throw it in the water. We throw it out in the water, and what it does is there's smells. There's stuff in that chum that attracts them to it. And so you end up in a situation in your life and you've already kind of struggled with something, and what Satan comes along, he just starts kind of peppering and stuff. Here and there, it's harmless. He kind of shows you some things. And then when it catches your eye, when you start going towards it, now the enemy casts very accurately and he's very patient. And so what he does, he comes along and he says, okay, all right, I see a father of three over there, because there's three kids, the love life is not quite there as it used to be. And you know what? I'm going to give you a very pretty secretary. He puts a cast out there. He's like, I know you won't do it. You're a godly person. You wouldn't do that, but I'm just going to throw that right there. It's okay. Yeah, just take a look. It's all right. He reels in slowly, and if you take that bait, he sets the hook. And then sometimes he comes along, and if he notices you have a problem with greed, he's like, you know what? He'll do a little side cast. You're like, I know that you're doing great with money, but let me tell you about this opportunity. It might not be the best practice or the best thing to do or what is legal, but you know what? You know what? You can make a little extra money doing that. There's a little short, little side cast right there. He's like, if you just jump to the side a little bit, but I know you wouldn't do it. I know you wouldn't take that bait. you know, you have integrity, you know. But, you know, would that money just be so good? That extra, you can buy that big boat you wanted to go fishing. You can buy that jet ski, that extra car, and then you buy it, and he sets the hook. And some, you know, if you're younger, you know, and it's you know, peer pressure is big in your life. You'll do a short cast. You'll end up in a moment, and he's like, you know what? You know what? Hey, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. It's okay. It's all right. Just watch. You just go. Just go to the party, hang out. You know, don't worry about the illegal activity that's going on because you're not going to indulge. You're not going to do it, but it's okay. It's okay. You see that line? Yeah, it's all right. You take that bite, and he sets that hook. But the thing is, when he sets that hook, we don't always know that we're caught because we think any moment we could stop, any moment we could give this up, but he's constantly, constantly casting, constantly after you, and he changes the lures. As you grow up, the temptations change. We know what for young men, you know, it might have been a lust at a time. When they get older, it turns into money. Things change, and he changes the lure, and he's very accurate and intentional because he knows who he's fishing for. He knows where he's going to fish. He's been watching you. He knows what you struggle with. He knows all those dark things that you don't want to tell anybody about that you've done. And he takes that lure and he kind of flashes it in front of you and says, hey, it might be a little slimy, but doesn't it look good? Doesn't it look good? He's always changing that lure. But there's a hook. When there's the hook to temptation, and that's where we're about to jump into Scripture. So what is this? There's some things I need you to know about temptation before you can realize the full picture of what temptation is. All right, and so in James 1, we talk about the hook of temptation. James 1:13, we'll start off. And it says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God does not tempt us. That's sometimes we get confused. We're like, God, why would you put this in front of me? Why would you set this opportunity in front of me? We think that God's out to get us. God doesn't tempt. He doesn't do that. The devil is the one who tempts us because he wants us to mess up and fall and not see the potential that God has for us. But God can use these temptations as tests to build our strength. He will take these temptations, these opportunities of the enemy, and use it to build on us, to make us stronger. There's something that in fishing, what you do is, if you've cast so many times and you've caught some fish with one lure, after a while it doesn't work anymore. You have to change the lure. You got to put something new out there to catch that eye of that fish, something flashy. And so when the enemy is constantly changing what it is, God is constantly using those opportunities to make us stronger, to resist those temptations. And the more you resist it, the easier it is to resist it in the future because you build strength against it. So in James 1:14-15, it says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth the death. We have the right to choose. Sometimes if you're like, I don't have a choice. I need it so bad. It's like almost like it's out of my skin. Nope. Nope. You have free will. You have the opportunity to choose, just like anybody else, to not be tempted. Now, that temptation might be strong because it's meant to lure and entice based on our own desire. But when it happens, so the good news is when you're tempted, it's okay. You're okay. You're human. We get tempted. But it's when you indulge in that temptations when it becomes sin. And sin is the thing that creates the chasm between us and God. And we don't want that. We don't want to be separated from the one that gives us life. And when that sin is fully grown, that's what I was talking about, when you think that you're just so far gone that I have to fix myself before I can come to church, or I have to make myself right before I can ask Jesus to come into my life. You get so far gone, lost into that selfishness, that indulgence, and that temptation, that it brings death. And that's why the scripture says that. We have the choice, but we don't have to choose the consequences of of whatever that temptation is. So James 1, 16 through 17, it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." He wants us to realize that the things that are good come from heaven. The things that have joy in your life come from heaven, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God's not the one that tempts us. God is for you. But however, he wants to use those moments of temptation to make you stronger, to build you up. And so when we realize that, when we accept God into our life, when we accept Jesus, there's something that's called being born again. All right, and there's a reason why we say born again, not literally born again. You don't call your mom and say, sorry, what's going to happen? But you're not literally being born again. You're being spiritually born again. You're being made a new person. Because the birth of desire, the birth of all those things, and the will for that is sin. And that will bring us death, as the scripture says. But when you are born again, you are born, you're in the birth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's a new birth, meaning that you don't face the same temptations anymore. You don't see them the same way. It changes. Because in James 1:18, it says, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth," this is Jesus, "that we should be a kind and first fruits of his creatures." He was saying, this is something new. This is something brand new that's going to happen. When you accept him into your heart, when you accept Jesus, you're spiritually changed. You're mentally changed. You're soulfully changed. And so because of that, you see things differently. The temptations are not the same. And so we're talking about dealing. So how do I deal with this? So once I become born again, or I haven't taken that step yet, how do we deal with temptation in our life? Now we can see the process, but it's so strong. It feels so right. I just gotta have it. It's like almost out of my control. How do we deal with temptation? First off, I'll say, you're not alone. You are not alone in temptation. It's funny how we always, in our minds, we like to think and like to say that, you know, it's just me dealing with this. No one else faces this kind of thing. No. Everybody does. Some people might not face the same temptation as you, but there's 6 billion people on this earth. I guarantee one of them, at least, faces the same odd temptation as you do. So you are not alone in this battle. And the Bible always refers to one another. When he's talking about living here on earth, and it's one of the reasons why we have the church, is that we're supposed to band together with one another to help build each other up, to help us through these temptations, through these moments. And so, because there's honestly, the truth is revealing your feelings is the beginning of a healing. You like how I said that? Revealing your feelings is the beginning of a healing. Don't keep it to yourself. One of the worst things you can do is whatever temptation you are facing, whatever you're indulging is to keep it to yourself. That is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Once he's hooked you, he doesn't want the other fish to realize there's a hook out there. He wants them to be hooked just like you. Or he doesn't want that fish helping get you off that hook. When you reveal it, when you talk about it, it's easier to deal with these temptations. You realize that I'm not the only one having to go through this. I'm not the only one struggling in this. Somebody has been there before I have, so they can help me through this situation. That's beautiful. That's an amazing thing. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." It says even in Scripture. "God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." There is always an escape route when it comes to God. Without Jesus, temptation is very strong. And that's why you see the destruction that we have in our world. Because it just feels right to attack somebody else. It just feels right to take advantage. It just feels right to be selfish, because that's in our nature. But Jesus will always provide. God will always provide an escape route. When you're tempted, he'll always provide a way out. And what he's saying there is not that you know, he's not going to like throw things in front of you, but things that you come up against, he will give you the ability to come get out of. So whatever you're facing in your life, whatever temptation is strong, whatever that may be, God can provide the ability to overcome it. Provide the ability to be a conqueror. So we should have endurance. And as like I said before, as we go through temptation to temptation to temptation, we build endurance. God wants to make you an enduring person who can handle the temptations that the enemy throws at you. Because he knows it's not going to be one temptation. He knows that Satan has a tackle box just waiting for you of some great looking stuff, slimy or not, blingy or not. He's got some great stuff waiting on you that he wants to tempt you with, because he never wants you to know your true worth, your destiny, that you were created by a God that's bigger than this universe. I've said before, as scientists have only tracked like a third, maybe a third of the universe. There's a whole other part that we don't even know about. God is bigger than that, and he created you. You mean that much to him. He loves you that much. The enemy doesn't want us to know this. The enemy does not want us to know our worth. Let me use one more fishing analogy to help you understand this. So when you go fishing, and you're thinking about the fish that you're going to catch, you know, different fish weigh different things. You can't use the same line that you would fish for a shark that you fish for a bass. You just can't do that. There's a pound test to it. So you got 10 pounds, 16 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever it may be. You see, God knows you. He knows the pounds that you can handle. He knows your line and how much you can handle in that line. So whatever it is, because I've said in the past, in our last sermon, that Jesus is the line. He is the one that handles that poundage for us. So when we face temptation and we are hooked by it, Jesus is not going to break. He is not going to give up. He's just not going to turn you over. As long as you have breath in your lungs, he is not going to break that line. And he will increase the poundage for whatever temptation that's in your life. There is never, ever anything that we could ever do in this world that's bad enough that Jesus wouldn't forgive us for. Never enough. Never enough to outweigh Jesus. His poundage is too great. What he did, came to this earth. He came in the most extreme of lowly of ways and died in the most extreme of ways and conquered death in the most amazing of ways. So he could handle the poundage, all that was necessary for whatever you decide to do, what temptation you decide to have in your life. And people get mad, you know, when they feel like the line breaks, they get mad. You know, I've been out fishing. Of course, I would never do this, but, you know, when they're pulling it in and you pop, and the fish is gone, you know, bleep, 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 bleep. You know, it all starts coming out, bleep and run, bleep, bleep, this, bleep, bleep. I would never do that, guys. But I've fished with some people who have, okay? But it upset about it. When you feel like that line has been broken, you get upset. There's some temptation in your life right now that you have probably indulged in or you're being tempted with, and you feel like Jesus has forgotten about you. You feel like that line has broken, and you're becoming angry with God. God, why would you do this? I've had that moment. I've had that moment in starting this church where God has sent me to an area that I can't afford to live. He sent me to an area that our church can't afford to rent a building or buy a building. He sent me to an area. There's all these things, and I want to yell at God. And I've had those moments in the car where I've just, God, what are you doing to me? Because I feel like that line has been broken. It's a feeling, and it's a lie. Jesus is still there. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing in your life, the pounds of whatever that is could never break Jesus. So if you're fighting through a temptation right now, I want you to hold fast. Do not give up on Jesus. If you need to yell, if you need to yell with God, God can handle your anger. He can handle that. He's been far more angry than you have ever been. So he can handle it. Yell at him. Let him have it. Let him give it to him. But do not forget that he is there for you, and he is waiting for that moment that he gets to teach you a lesson to give you better endurance so that next time when you face that temptation again, you can handle it. You have the ability to avoid it. He'll never put that on you. God has the best for you. And the reason the enemy is coming after you is because he knows what can happen and what goes on, what was going to happen because of the value you are, how valuable you are. So guys, let's continue to have wisdom. As we're out there casting for Jesus and trying to get people hooked, letting Jesus set that hook of the gospel, let their lives be changed, let's not forget, let's not be ignorant. There is somebody casting for us that's not Jesus, who's trying to lead us away from us, from him, to try to take us from life to death. Let's have wisdom in that. Identify it and talk about it. We would love to talk to you about it. And it's not so that we can say we're better. I'll probably say, that's it? That's all? Man, let me tell you about this in my life. Because when we reveal it, healing can happen when you reveal it. So let's share. Let's come together. Let's do that. And let's have wisdom when it comes to the temptations of the enemy. Let's pray. God, I love you. I thank you so much. God, I thank you that for your analogies on fishing that made it clear for us, you know, how all this works, so that we cannot be ignorant to what the enemy is trying to do to us. Lord, if there's any strongholds, if it's been any hooks of temptation set right now, I pray that it would be blindingly obvious in our lives, that we would know that those hooks are there, that you would reveal it to us so that we can begin to let Jesus get that hook out, so that we can begin to live that life again and stay hooked with Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much. We give you all the praise and all the honor. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.